Barbara Edwards, thanks so much for joining us today.
Happy to be here.
You said at a recent event that in terms of states' Medicaid programs, the timing of the economic turndown couldn't be worse for some of those states. How so?
Medicaid is this countercyclical program to start with. Mm-hmm. So anytime you have an economic slowdown, the state's ability to pay for programs like Medicaid decreases at the very moment that the demand for those supports increases. People lose their jobs, they lose their second jobs, they go to part-time, they lose their benefits, they become eligible for Medicaid. Right now, however, we also have a whole series of federal regulatory proposals that are would propose to make changes to the Medicaid program in ways that would basically pull more federal money out of the states that's today supporting the Medicaid spending. So for states, they're already in a place of struggling to figure out how they're going to live if these regulations take effect, and they lose $13 to $50 billion in federal support over the next 5 years, just at a time when the state revenues are already declining and the demand for the program is growing. So it's a very difficult time for states.
I want to talk about the potential impact of those regulations in a moment, but let me ask you first, again, based on the current economic downturn, some states are struggling more than others. Which states are those and why?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think that the National Association of State Budget Officers has predicted that maybe 18 states are going to see a deficit, a shortfall, the revenues coming in below expectations in 2008 compared to the budgeted spendings. But by 2009, the budget officers are predicting it could be as many as 40 states are going to find themselves falling short in terms of revenue. So what we really have going on is that some states may be on the leading edge of the downturn, but it does look like the kind of a downturn that's going to affect almost every state in the country. The states that tend to get into these troubles earlier may be those that have been hardest hit by the mortgage housing crisis, who are perhaps hardest hit by rising fuel costs. States like Michigan have had perennial problems. They really never got out of the recession that hit us several years ago. And other states from New Jersey to California, are projecting some huge fiscal deficits, $2.7 billion in New Jersey, over $10 billion in California. Those kinds of challenges are enormous, and they have come very quickly on the heels of a period of time just a few years ago where states were in a recession. So it's been difficult for states to find a recovery. They've not had an opportunity to rebuild their reserves. And in fact, state programs have been very thinly funded for many years because of the prior recession. And to hit another recessionary period so soon afterwards is a real challenge. So states in the Rust Belt, states that are particularly sensitive to the mortgage crisis, those are states that are probably on the leading edge of that. But the budget officers are predicting that all states are going to be seeing this challenge.
So if some of these states cut pretty close to the bone during the last recession and they haven't had an opportunity to build back up, what do they do now? What are the options?
For Medicaid in states is 20 to 25% of the total state spending. So if your state revenues are not sufficient, and because the economy is downturning, you have more people coming onto programs like Medicaid, so you've got more spending, less revenue, mm-hmm. Medicaid becomes a target for cuts.
It's just too big to ignore.
It's too big to ignore, particularly, again, after many years of holding all state programs flat or even cutting them because of the last recession. So at some point, you have to go into a program like Medicaid and look for savings as well. For Medicaid, there are really only three basic options, particularly to hit a short-term budget crisis. And states have to balance their budget every year. They can't do deficit spending. So when you have to meet the budget this year, in Medicaid, the only things that produce immediate savings is to reduce what you pay providers, take people off the program, or drop some benefits. Because those are the only things that give you the immediate budget relief that you're seeking.
Would the fourth option, though, be to turn to Washington and ask for extra infusion of cash, which was done last time?
That was something that happened the last time. That's not within the control of states. Those first three options are more within the control of states. States have proposed that a part of the fiscal stimulus package from Washington should include an enhancement to the federal matching rate for Medicaid, a temporary recession-related enhancement for Medicaid. The argument for that is that if states get that kind of an immediate infusion of additional federal funding just at the time that their costs of Medicaid are growing and their revenues at the state level are shrinking, that states can maintain their Medicaid benefits, their Medicaid coverage, and that in turn better supports the ability of the program to be the safety net that it's intended to be in the time of an economic downturn. The other challenge that states face when they're forced into cutting Medicaid is that because Medicaid is a source of federal revenue, for every dollar a state spends, the federal government reimburses the state some percentage. The average across the country is about 60% federal reimbursement. In order to get a dollar saved in state tax revenue, the state has to actually make $2.40 of cuts in health care spending, because when they don't spend the state dollar, they lose the federal match. That means that the cuts in Medicaid to fill a state revenue hole have to be much larger than the revenue hole that you're trying to fill. That, in turn, means more money is coming out of local economies.
And so
and that, in turn, can make the economic slowdown a bigger problem for states.
Given this scenario that you've just described, what has been the tenor of the conversations you've had of late with state Medicaid directors? What are you hearing?
Well, state directors are very busy right now in their budget processes trying to provide part of the solution for their governors and their legislatures as they're looking at this challenge. They are concerned, particularly given a series of 2 to 6 years in states where they were already deeply engaged with doing cost containment strategies. So they're worried that as they go back to that well, that it's beginning to run dry in terms of the things that they can do without causing real harm to the program. One of the challenges of for some states is they already run a pretty basic program, that they don't cover a lot of optional people, so that if you look at where can I back off coverage, they may not have a lot of choices. They may be mostly insuring a mandatory enrollment population under federal law. States often find that if you try to cut benefits, if you try to take back some of the optional benefits that are in the program, that in fact it's not even cost effective, because if you reduce an optional benefit, you may find yourself spending more under a mandatory benefit because it's the only way the consumer is going to be able to get the services that they need. So again, it's not always cost effective to make the cuts that you're able to make. And if you continue to go back to the issue of provider rates and cut rates or freeze rates, at some point you begin to have an access problem.
And that already exists.
In some states, that's already a challenge around certain services. Mm-hmm. And the underlying safety net, the catch-all in the healthcare system, is of course the emergency room. So if people can't get care in the most efficient, effective setting because the providers are not willing to accept the card, not willing to accept the reimbursement, at some point the state is paying even more for health care because the hospital service is a mandatory service, the hospital can't turn people away in an emergency, and the costs then just grow in terms of the whole system. So one of the real challenges for Medicaid is that the short-term options you have to hit a budget crisis are often not very cost-effective in the long term. And many states have been making real serious attempts to do bigger reform that would to try to bring down the trend of Medicaid growth over time. Investments in managed care, in disease management, in reforming the long-term care delivery system to become more reliant on community-based options, which consumers prefer, and which can be less expensive on a per-person basis than institutional care. But many of those strategies, health information technology, finding more efficiencies in the system, take an upfront investment, and the return on investment may not come within the same fiscal year in which you have to make those investments. Those investments are increasingly difficult to make when you're in the middle of fiscal crisis. So some of the strategies that states are pursuing actually get delayed or put off because of the fiscal crisis that they're dealing with.
You mentioned earlier the changes in some of the federal rules that the Bush administration is proposing. And the administration says these are to promote fiscal integrity in the Medicaid program. Recently, last night, as we speak today, a committee on the House side voted a moratorium. There's concern in the states that it will draw down even more on the federal share. What is your view of the potential impact of these regulations or rule changes?
States have said to the House Energy Committee at a request, mm-hmm. because they asked states to give them a sense of what the impact of those regulations, a cumulative sense of the impact of those regulations would be. And states predicted that the impact could be as high as $50 billion in lost federal funding for states over 5 years. The administration has officially projected in the neighborhood of $13 to $15 billion.
Right.
States are saying it might be as much as $50. The reality is that states don't have $13 billion or $50 billion to put into Medicaid at the state level to make up for those lost federal funds. And so for states, the loss of that federal revenue, if these regulations go forward, will result in the loss of services at the state level, and will require, in some cases, where states do step in and say, that service is so critical, we can't let it go away, it's going to put a heavier burden on states to come up with state dollars to fill the gaps that are left by the federal money that's been withdrawn. So the impact on states will vary. If it's a state that has a particular dependence, has a strong presence of public hospitals in their system, for example, the regulations that are going to restrict what can be paid to public hospitals with federal financial participation is going to be extremely damaging in those states. Some states are less dependent on a public hospital system and may not see as much of an impact from that set of regulations. But where that's an issue, the effect is going to be tremendous, and states are not sure that they have any ability at the state level to recover from that loss of federal funds.
And yet, as you know, the Bush administration argues that this is being done to get rid of, my words, not theirs, but some kind of funny bookkeeping on the parts of the states in order to get more dollars from the federal government.
What states have successfully urged the House committee, I think successfully given the vote, which was a unanimous support,
right,
of a moratorium to give more time to look at these regulations, is that while everybody is supportive of the importance of fiscal integrity in the program and in the relationship between states and the federal government around Medicaid, that's not what these regulations, for the most part, are about. States feel very strongly that many of the problem areas that have been identified by the OIG and by Health and Human Services over the last several years have already been addressed by the administration and by states. That the real problems of overbilling the federal government, reaching too broadly for federal match, for the most part, CMS has already found strategies for dealing with those problems. In some cases, Congress has already acted to deal with those problems. That when you look at the content of these regulations, what you see instead is CMS beginning to fundamentally change longstanding federal policy to reshape Medicaid and where federal money is going to be participating in the Medicaid program. So I think states have argued that while no one is arguing against good fiscal integrity, in many cases, these regulations go well beyond that issue, and that this really is about reshaping the program.
Have you thought through, though, what kind of potential compromise there could be on this issue?
Well, there are so many regulations. I want to sort of remind everyone that we're talking about seven mm-hmm. different regulations that are being particularly debated at this point with states. And that's out of a universe of at least 15 or more regulations that have been issued over the last 2 years. So this has been a period of heavy regulatory activity by the federal government. States are really concerned about seven or eight of those sets of regulations. These regulations cover such a broad array of Medicaid services that there's not a single set of solutions around the problems. These are complicated sets of regulations. They affect the rehabilitation option that's used to provide services, particularly in the mental health community. It affects school-funded services, administrative supports in the schools as well as school transportation. It affects case management, which is used in many places throughout the Medicaid program, including in the home and community-based waiver programs, which give people home-based options to long-term care institutions. Those are all going to have to get redrawn because of the new regulations. It affects public hospitals. It affects how states pay outpatient hospitals, public and private. It affects graduate medical education, which is something Medicaid has been paying for decades. So again, this is such a complicated set of series of regulations that states are arguing each of these deserve careful attention and a great deal more public input than has been allowed.
But
so there is some activity around what the options might be.
And the sense of priorities.
Again, the priorities vary from state to state depending upon where they are mm-hmm. with regard to the changes that would be mandated. But there is certainly a sense of if nothing else, looking at where the biggest dollars are connected in terms of loss of dollars. But I think that we think every state in the country is going to have to refile because of the case management rules. They're going to have to change their Medicaid programs. 50 states and the territories. This is not a little fiscal integrity issue. This is a fundamental reshaping of Medicaid's program definition. So I think that these really deserve considerable more attention, and they deserve individualized attention because the issues in each of these regulations that are being raised are different.
One quick last question, and that is, what is your projection about where we will be in this discussion and debate 1 year from today?
That is a challenging question. In some cases, where we will be is working very closely with states and as states to actually implement some of these regulations. Because I would predict that a year from today, some of these regulations will be in effect. Mm-hmm. Some of them already are. The case management regulations went into effect March 3rd of this year. So states are already working at how do I come into compliance with regulations that I don't even fully understand and that I'm not getting full guidance from CMS on how to respond to. Others, I think we may find ourselves still in some sort of moratorium mm-hmm. situation because the issues will have been so complex that finding compromise won't yet have worked its way through the system. We will have a new administration, and some of these are issues that a new administration is going to want to take another look at and decide if the policy direction reflected in these proposed regulations is the direction that they want to move, or whether or not they want to go back to the drawing board and say, wait a minute, let's start over again. Okay. So I think we're going to be in different places on different regulations.
Okay. We'll talk same time next year.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Barbara Edwards.
Thank you for having me.